My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
I have one verse of scripture to read to you. So many aspects of Calvary, Passover, the Last Supper, the empty tomb, the resurrection, the ascension, so many details that are magnificent in the lessons that they teach. But here's one particular item that perhaps has been overlooked and not talked about very much, but it's found in Matthew 26 and 30. They were at the Last Supper, and this is what it says. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, the only other gospel writer that mentioned this was Mark. Matthew and Mark were the only gospel writers that mentioned this. But Jesus and his disciples got together and did a chorale and sang before he went to Gethsemane. And it just teaches me so much, and I want to share it with you, and I want to entitle this message, The Song Before the Battle. The Song Before the Battle. So would you now, if you would, just put your Bibles down, your Samsungs and your iPhones and all that good stuff. And would you just lift your hands and your voice in this house, and would you just magnify the Lord and just thank him for his gospel message and his saving grace. Lord, I thank you. You're such a wonderful God. I bless your wonderful name, and I ask that this word would minister and instruct us today and help us. Help us, Lord, in the midst of our battles, for all of us are fighting and struggling with something. Some enemy has taken up arms against us, and we must fight, Lord, if we're going to win the victory. Help us in that battle, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. It was the farewell supper before a bitter parting. We know it as the Last Supper. But I find it magnificent that Matthew and Mark points out that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn before going to Gethsemane and then on to Golgotha. Jesus was on the brink of one of history's greatest tragedies. The failure of government to bring justice to an innocent man when they knew he was not guilty of what they accused him of. And they still executed him anyway for political expedience. And the bankruptcy of religion that was too jealous to let him be who God wanted him to be. But what was history's greatest failure became eternity's greatest victory. Now, can you imagine Jesus singing a hymn before he goes to Gethsemane? He stops everything and says, "We got to sing, bro. And we got to put the song in here." Now that's poise under pressure. Now, it's wonderful that he sang, but you got to notice that the text reveals that they sang. It wasn't just Jesus. He said, "Come on in. We're gonna join in together. Got to get the tenor working here. Got to get the bass working here." How in the world could Jesus sing at a time like this? Now, I don't find anywhere in the New Testament where he teaches this kind of a lesson, where he says you need to sing before you go to the battle and you'll be assured of the victory. I don't find anywhere that he taught it in a parable. He just simply didn't teach it by words, but he taught it by example. He lived what he believed. Some things you can't teach by saying it. You can only teach it by doing it. But he was telling us in this hour that the church I'm going to build is not a church of sorrow and pain and suffering, although that's a part and a reality of life. But my doctrine is joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, you may not be able to change the pain and the trials of this life, but we can transform them by the power of a song when you learn how to sing your song in the midst of the difficulty. So Jesus instructs us even when he sings, and what we cannot change, we have the power to transform. And even though his heart was sorrowful and his heart was overwhelmed, and yes, he was the suffering Savior, but he's also the chief musician. He's the sweet singer of Israel. His pain was no laughing matter, but it never diminished his song. He was the boldest man to ever live. He was the bravest man who ever faced his hour of battle, and he did it with the power of a song. The true genius of Jesus, who is the head of the church, has designed his kingdom to be one of joy. That's why we clap our hands when we come to church. That's why we lift our voice and say amen. It's not because we've got every victory won and there's nobody here struggling with anything and we've never failed or we never stumped our toe and fallen down, but we got back up. And we're not just going to sit here and hang our head because everything hadn't turned out the way we wanted it to. So we're going to walk in here with a smile and say, God, in spite of everything that's happened in my life, you've been good to this preacher. You've been good to First Pentecostal Church. And devil, you can try to rob me of my joy if you want to, but there's a song in my heart. And yes, I still have some battles to fight, but I will meet them with the power of the joy of the Lord. And I want to know, does anybody want to engage the enemy on this resurrection morning and win victory? Now, why did they mention this song and didn't tell us what they sang? Because Matthew wrote his gospel to the Jews, and there was no reason to tell the Jews what he sang because they knew exactly what he was singing. They had sang the same song at the Passover for almost 1,000 years. So it was customary for them to sing this same song from Psalms 113 to Psalm 118, and they call it the Halah. And this Halah, or this song from Psalms 113 and 118, was established, of course, King David, and most likely some schools of thought say it was Hezekiah that started that particular deal, but it was several hundred years before Jesus was ever born, and they did it at every Passover from there until Jesus sang the same song. Now, I can't go through all of those songs. We'll be here all day. And we do have to have risen tonight, so I'm going to spare you all of the Psalms. But I just want to take you to this Hallelujah Chorus. Handel wasn't the first person to create the Hallelujah Chorus. King David created that Hallelujah Chorus a long time ago. And Jesus picked it up, and he sang it along with his disciples. That's the reason why the disciples could sing it, is because they've been singing it for years. And so I'm going to just take you to the last verses of Psalms 118, and I'm going to just tell you what Jesus sang. And this is very powerful. Now, just remember, he's about to face the cross. He's about to go to Calvary. And then here is what he sings. Now, I'm not going to sing it to you, so don't get nervous. The song which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. He had already prophesied his victory right there. Because you see, when you can get a song, you get a prophetic word that you can literally speak your future into existence. I might be rejected. I might be beaten. I might be bruised. But I'm going to become the headstone of the corner. At church, we might stumble and fall, but we're still the people of God. We're still anointed of the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized in Jesus' name. I just want to know, is anybody alive on resurrection morning? I'm going to have to resurrect you. Woo! Is anybody alive here today? He said, he prophesied by the song, I might be rejected, and I know some of you might be hurting, but if you'll hang in there, Jesus can transform it, and you can become the headstone of the corner. And then verse 23, now this is really amazing to me that he could sing this. This is the Lord's doing. He did not blame anybody else for Calvary. Wow. That's amazing to me. I mean, I know some of you say, well, them crazy Romans ain't got the courage to stand up to this Sanhedrin. I could just hear people talking about it. They blame religion. They blame everything. But he said, God did it. See, in your song, you transform your perspective, your attitude, and virtue flows out of that song. Because he sang it that night. He said, this is the Lord's doing. And then he even went a little further. It is marvelous in our eyes. How can that be marvelous? Come on, tell me, how in the world can that be marvelous? And yet he said, it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. In other words, he said, God made this day. This day I would die. This day I will go to the cross. But we will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, God, send your prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. I bless you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I told you I wouldn't sing it, but for he is good. And this is the end. And his mercy endureth for. I said Jesus left nothing unfinished. He knew what was about to happen, but he obeyed his God and he stood up and sang about it. He sang his deliverance into existence. He sang his perspective into existence and he sang till the joy came and he could praise the Lord because he knew the cross would not be the end. What would you do if tonight you knew that you would be arrested, you would be mocked, despised, scourged, and that tomorrow's sun would see you falsely accused, hanging on a cross, convicted criminal, to die? I doubt very seriously you would stand up and start singing, much less eat the last meal of your life. But yet, something in the Savior's spirit, something in his heart, he was perfectly consecrated to the will of God. Other men sing as they march to their victory, but he sang on his way to the cross. The patriot warrior sings as he hastens to battle and he advances to meet the devil. I wish there were some champions in the house that wouldn't be afraid of the next trial and the next test and the next situation and the next rejection. But somebody in my family might not like that I speak in tongues. Well, so what? I view the battle like Job's war horse. He said, he saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off. I've got a baptism to be baptized with. Yes, it might be tough to be a Christian in this hour, but I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to sing about a heaven. I'm going to sing about a joy. Here's what I love about my Jesus, my master. When he goes forth to the agony in the garden, he doesn't go with a cowed and a trembling spirit, all bowed down and crushed in the dust. But he advances to the conflict like a man who has full strength. He goes forth to the slaughter, and his glorious spirit is undaunted. He's fast and he's firm in his heart. glad to suffer for this people's sake, glad to suffer so that God could be glorified. So he said, sing with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If you expect a great trial and you're afraid that when you go through it, you're not going to be able to sing after it, then why don't you sing before it? Get your holy praise work done before you go to the battle. And if you go down, at least you'll go down with the last note in your mind. Jesus, I thought you was going to deliver me, but it looks like this is the end. But it's never the end. When Jesus is involved in it, I said it's never the end. That's when the disciples joined in. I'm sorry, I can't preach by myself. I got to ask you to join with me. He said, I'm not just going to sing this song by myself. I'm going to get my disciples and we're going to come together and we're going to sing it together. I want to know, any of you been through some trials before, but God brought you out? You've been through some difficult times, but you're not sitting back there whining about everything you've gone through. You're still, hey, Sister Finney, I see your little pink coat on. You look so good, 890 years old, but you're still praising God and clapping your hands and glorifying the Lord. Do you still have a praise, Sister Finney? I got a song before the battle. Does anybody have a song in the house? Woo, Sister. Sister Redonia, you still got a song in your heart. After every trial, after every dark time, do you still have a song in your heart? I believe it. The disciples united with Jesus in the halal like true Jews. They joined in that national song. Israel had good cause to sing at that Passover because God had done something for them he had not done for any other nation. He delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. They sang when they were coming forth out of that land of Egypt, and that song was powerful at the triumph of the Red Sea. God gave them a mighty song, and it's never died out. Our salvation is greater than when Israel came out of Egypt. Because when Jesus broke the chains off of my life and he broke the bondage of sin, I came forth from my grave, as we sang about here today. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God brought me out. You can't save yourself from your sin, but I know somebody who can by the power of the blood sprinkled on our hearts and our conscience. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That blood has redeemed me. Where's your song today? Are you telling me that your problem is bigger than your God? Your God's bigger than any problem you've got. You don't know what I've been through, but I know what Jesus went through to bring me to this point. And if he can sing, you need to join him. I've got joy. This is the day. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Is anybody glad you're in the house? You got up. You got dressed. You're here. Woo! We're going to make it, church. I don't care what the governments, they may fail, but Jesus will never fail you. Religion will fail you, but the power of the gospel, the power of the name, it'll never fail you, not one single time. Hallelujah. So I believe that God has, as a warrior, given us a song. He is a man of war. And the Lord is his name. God has given us a song to sing about his mighty acts and all that he has done. So sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Jesus is that worthy lamb. His blood, his precious blood. His bread is from another table, and his water is from a heavenly well. And if you will drink from this well, you will never thirst again. And if you feast from this bread, you will never hunger again. Hallelujah. This song is so real and so rich If I could just get you to sing one time so that you could understand, you can see all of the different psalms and how powerful they are. You say, but what tune are we going to sing it to? I don't really know what tune they sang it to. I don't sing like the Jews sing. I don't even sing like y'all sing. Pray. I just, you know, sing when nobody's listening. But there's got to be some bass up in here. Somebody got to give me a little bass note up in here. Somebody's got a heavy and hurting heart. And so even a bass can sing this song. You say, but you don't know how messed up I am. Sing it anyway. You don't know how much I need God. Sing it anyhow. But I'm not a Christian. I don't have the Holy Ghost. Don't matter. Sing it anyway. Sing your future into existence. Start singing about amazing grace. How sweet the sound who saved a wretch like me. Go ahead. Sing it. Sing it. You might be broken. You might be bruised. But I've got a song for you in this house. Go ahead. What about the tenor of a redeemed heart? Have you been redeemed? Then you ought to be singing. I know you're tried. I know you're troubled. I know that being in church is not always the easiest thing in the world. That people reject you, people persecute you, people put you down because you are a Christian and you serve the Lord. But you can still, with the tenor of a redeemed heart, I might be hurting in this world. The system is against me and the government is persecuting me and I feel an injustice in my life and there are bombings in Sri Lanka and churches are getting bombed and hundreds are getting killed and yet our people are safe right now and I thank God for that. Our people are safe right now. We heard from some of them, and they're all right. And I thank God for that. But they're just angry at Christians. But yet, I've been redeemed. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I know it's a tough day for some of you, but I've come to declare to you in this service right now that if you could get your tenor on, Daddy might sing bass, but somebody got to get some tenor up in here, and we need a redeemed heart that says, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Devil, you hadn't got my song yet. I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he's going to deliver me, and I know I'm sorry to preach up here on Easter. I know you want a little cute sermon, but I want to show you something from the Word of God that my Jesus had a song before the battle. Now, I don't know if the choir can help me. But where are my altos? Lift your hand. All right? And you got to have the alto of a loving heart. And if you don't sing by that tune, then your song's not. You got to just let Jesus know, I love you. Now, before y'all altos, can y'all just say loving heart in an loving heart in an alto voice? Can y'all do that? Loving heart, just two words. Are y'all, am I stretching you? Am I messing y'all up? Yeah. Ooh, man. I feel the Holy Ghost. Powerful stuff. Just hold that note. Well, don't hold it. Just wait. Just wait. Okay, Matthew wrote his gospel to the Jews, and the Jews knew the song, so there was no reason to say it. But Mark wrote his to the Romans, and he didn't say what song it was because, now Luke didn't mention it, he wrote his to the Greeks. John wrote his to the world, and he didn't mention it. But the reason why Mark mentioned it to the Romans is because anytime a warrior can sing going to his battle, to them, they gave honor to that man, even though he died in battle, because he died for what he believes in. So to a Roman, it wouldn't make any difference what you sang, just the fact you could do it. And they knew they had executed him on a false accusation. They knew it. Pilate knew it. He even washed his hands to try to get the guilt off of him because he knew he was executing an innocent man and government failed to bring justice to an innocent man. And so they knew it. But Jesus said, don't make no difference. Because this is the day that the Lord had. And he sang. And all the Romans needed to know. Oh, this is a singing brother, because that's what they did. They sang because they believed that what they were doing was right. Whether it was right or not, they believed it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What Jesus was doing, it was right. And I don't know if you can worship because you love him. I don't know if you can worship because you really do, from your heart, love Jesus. But can I get my loving heart? Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody would fall in love with Jesus that says, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to praise you. I may not feel anything. I might be down right now, but I love my Jesus. I love my loving heart. I got a loving heart. I got an alto section. So I'm going to clap. This is marvelous, church. I said it's marvelous in my eyes. I don't know why you can't perceive that it's marvelous that we're all here together in this place right on a resurrection morning. And I know some of you only come on Easter, so I'm going to hit you as good as I can. Amen. Get you to come back, baby. Hallelujah. Hey, what you doing? Don't make me wait a whole year to preach up in here. I want to preach to you every service, but I'll take you on Easter anytime I can get you. You understand what I'm saying? Come on. You're welcome here. The point is, I love you. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to know this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. It might be my worst day, but God can transform your worst day into your greatest victory if you'll learn how to sing the song, the halal. Now, I called it the halal, so let me back up. I didn't tell you this, so you need to know this, because I mentioned the hallelujah chorus, and you looked at me like you didn't know what I was talking about. The word halal is, in our language, praise the Lord. It's what our language is. But in the Hebrews, that word is hallelujah. So the halal that they sang at the Passover for hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And he sang the same song. He didn't change up the song according to the tradition. They always sang Psalms 113 and 114 to start the Passover. And then as they progressed through the Passover, at the end, they started at chapter 115 and went through chapter 118. And they sang it all together. And I thought I would just go down the list and go through all the scriptures, but I don't know that you could get to risen tonight. So we won't do that. But it's hallelujah. Now, here's the good thing about halal and hallelujah, and the reason why it's so powerful is because you can go anywhere in the world. I went to Serbia, and I spoke it. I didn't know Serbian. I don't know Slovakian. I don't know whatever. I don't even know what the name of the language they speak, nor do I understand it, but they know hallelujah. I've been to the Philippines. I don't know how to speak Filipino, but I said hallelujah, and they all went nuts. That's the only place I know of in the world that I can get up and say, hallelujah, and everybody go crazy. I say it here, and y'all look at me like, yeah, well, risen's tonight, praise God. I get it. But I'm going to tell you right now, hallelujah! If Jesus can sing his hallelujah, if he can get his hallelujah on, two points left, the sopranos, a true heart. But I'm not going to ask you to sing it. Hooray. Oh, you're ready. Okay, true heart. Sing it, sopranos. I did pretty good, huh? Say it again. Sing it again. You got to mean it from your heart. If it's going to have the impact we're preaching, you got to have a loving heart, a redeemed heart. It's got to be a heavy heart. That's all right. God doesn't reject you because you're messed up. He doesn't reject you because you're heavy and you don't feel good and you don't feel like it's worth it. You just sing it and God will do it. Now, who can sing this song? That's my last point. Who? What's the tune? Who can sing the song? And here's the answer that I can, only answer I can find throughout the Psalms. And this is what it is. David said, I will. And then he said again in the same text, again, I will. And then he said the third time, I will. Now, don't you dare let anybody tell you you can't sing this song. Woo! I wished I had time to preach. Well, who's qualified? If I can get you to say, I will. Woo! That automatically qualifies. Oh, that, no, that's not in the book. It's in the book. Everything that hath breath. I rest my case here on an Easter Sunday morning. I just want to know, is anybody going to say, I will. I'll sing it. I'll sing it. I'll sing it. I said that was my final point. This is my final point. You can stand. They sang in Risen, a baby changes everything. I'm gunning for your place. Hallelujah. A baby changes everything. One act of faith can change everything. And when you say, I will sing, it is an act. God perceives it as an act of faith. A true heart, a loving heart, redeemed heart, even a heavy heart can sing it. If you'll just say, I will. This is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I want every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment here today. There's such a powerful move of the Holy Ghost, and I feel like somebody's real heavy in their spirit, and they needed this word to help them see their way through what they feel is an impossible circumstance beyond what they're able to overcome. I want you to lift your hands if this message spoke into your spirit and you are there and you need the help of the Lord. I want you to lift your hand right now all over this building. I want you to lift your hand and trust in the Lord. Now, I love you and I just thank God for you for being here. And I know this is a big crowd and it's Easter and I know you got things to do this afternoon. Hasten to the close. But I want you, if you feel the drawing of the Spirit, I want you to walk up here to the front right now. And I want you to walk right up here to the front. And I want our prayer warriors to come with you and walk right up here with you. Come on, all over the building. I want you to just step forward. Many people are already coming from the balcony. It matters not where you're coming from. Your impossible circumstance and situation that's beyond you is not beyond my God. I can't change your circumstance or what happened to you or what's going on in your life. I can't change it. But God can transform it. But you have to sing. And you have to take that act of faith. You can't wait till the music is just right and somebody helps you. You got to do what David said. I will sing. I will. I will step out from where I'm at and I will walk up here and I will start my song. Now, you don't actually have to come up here and sing a song. We're talking about something that happens in your heart. And God is able to change your heart. to give you a true heart, a redeemed heart. And there's things you have to do. You have to repent. You have to get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That's what you have to do. So keep coming. I can just feel the Holy Ghost drawing people. And I want you to have plenty of time. I want you to think about it. I'm not trying to pressure you in any way. This is not a high pressure deal. I want to give you an opportunity to say, I will sing. I'll do it. I'll pick up the song and I'll join Jesus in the halal at the Passover as I go forth to my battle, because I know that my cause is just and I will sing. Yes, I will. I'm not going to blame anybody for the cross. I'm not going to blame. It's the Lord's doings. He did it. So I'm not going to blame anybody for the cross. I'm just going to say I will sing. And I'm just going to come forth and sing. Now, if you brought somebody and they might be just a little bit hesitant, why don't you just turn to them and take them by the hand and bring them to the front with you. And you can bring them and they can come together and we can pray for them up here. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them magnificently. So I want you to walk up here and allow God to minister to you, because God's going to take care of your situation. I just feel that confidently to speak into your life. God wants to take care of your circumstance this morning, in this service, right now. The song before the battle. Kaya. I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto Him. Jesus sang it. He sang it at the Passover, at the Last Supper. Kaya rabo satabaya siya rabba. And He will sing it for you in this place. And if you can join Him. Oh, yes. Step forward. Step forward. Trust in the Lord. And He will bless you. Trust in the Lord. Now, all over this building, if you would, just reach out and connect with somebody and begin to pray with them in the house. We do this oftentimes because it helps people to understand that God will reach you where you're standing. And we ask people to come to the front. It helps us locate who we need to pray with. But God will hear you back there just as well as He will up here. And He loves you just as much. So you go ahead and pray.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.